another day, another dollar makes you wonder where your money went. You can scream.
Hi, this is Jack Spirko with another edition of the Survival Podcast. One man's view of the changing world and changing economic times and what we can do to prepare to live a better life if times get tough or even if they don't. Dictated as always during a 50-mile commute between Frisco and Arlington, Texas. You have me on the southbound trip today, folks, in the afternoon. Our wonderful Texas weather is currently causing my thermometer in my vehicle to read 103 degrees, which is kind of a break from the heat, believe it or not, because we just had it pegged out at 111 degrees yesterday during my trip home. We're expecting even more relief from Tropical Storm Eduardo, which is currently wreaking havoc on the Texas coast, and we should have some side effects from that storm up here by late tomorrow afternoon. And have your thoughts be with those folks. I have one listener that's right down there at Ground Zero. Hopefully he'll be sending me a report, and I can let you know what it was like from a real person instead of through the hype and hyperbole of the news media. So we look forward to that coming up soon. What I'm going to talk to you about today is a concept I've been kicking around in my head in a while, and I decided to go ahead and put out a show on it. And it is the concept of a new civilian militia, and do we need a new civilian militia? And my concept for a civilian militia is a bit different than, all the groups that are out there now. And I know if you listen to this and you're part of a militia, or you've worked with a militia, or you support the militias, groups such as the Michigan Militia, for instance, you might say that a lot of what I'm talking about they do. And that's going to be true, and there is a lot that I'm going to talk about that they do. There's also a lot that I'm going to talk about maybe they don't do, and there's an image issue that I'm really going to try to address here with a new civilian militia. So I sat down this afternoon in about 10 minutes maybe in Microsoft Word, pounded out an outline that I'm going to use to go through this show with you today about what the civilian militia, new civilian militia, would be to me. Kind of like its guiding charter, so to speak, and two points, kind of what it is, and then the part two will be the marketing plan for it. The marketing plan is probably as big a part of this thing as the militia itself and its goals and agendas. I want to point out a couple things. One, I'm not throwing my hat in the ring or anything to kind of be the bird dog getting this thing put together, and I'm not saying that I'm 100% right. I just like to get the discussion about something like this going on, get people thinking about it and moving toward it. And there's groups that do some of these things, like the Zombie Hunters group actually does a lot of this stuff, but they do it with their own little shtick, and I'm thinking a much more polished and professional-looking organization with a really good public relations side to it to make it widely accepted. So what would this civilian militia look like? First of all, I would say that to do this thing right, you have to have a national level organization. It should be regionally driven and regionally led, but there should be a national level organization to a good new civilian militia. Now, hey, I'm even open to not calling this thing a militia. I just think that maybe that would be a really good spirit to have behind this thing, that it is a militia, and to change the viewpoint and the view and the public perception, and maybe even the media perception, and certainly the government's perception of what militia means, and what militia is, and what militia would stand for. But I think to do that, we're going to have some level of a national control, maybe a national meeting once a year where all the regional leaders meet together and vote on new things and run it kind of at a constitutional status. Of course, it would have to comply with all local, state, and federal law, and most of the militias do. They have, I think a lot of times law enforcement's investigating, especially the Federal Bureau of Investigation. I've actually been to the Michigan Militia's website, sorry folks, and they actually kind of tease this one guy from the FBI that they know is always on their site checking into them. I would want to make something like this be totally above board, nothing secret, nothing hidden, nothing underground, straight up across the board. Not only are the local, state, and federal laws followed, but all functions and meetings are open invitation to any law enforcement people that would like to come. In fact, it would be marketed from a standpoint of, we want you there. We want your input. We want your advice. Absolutely, the messaging behind it would be a force of assistance, not an anti-government organization whatsoever. In other words, it's absolutely there to coexist and assist local law enforcement and emergency responders. The main objective of the organization would be to provide assistance and additional security at times when law enforcement, emergency responders, or other organizations are stretched either beyond their limits or have not yet been able to respond. An example would be, let's say there's a tornado that impacts a given neighborhood. And that after that tornado passes, you would expect that, like, ambulances and paramedics and all would get there fairly quickly and respond to the medical needs. Maybe this group would assist with that process. But it's a fairly large area. It may be that it may be hard for local law enforcement to block the area off and make sure that looters don't move in and start taking people's stuff at a time like this, because unfortunately, folks, it happens. The civilian militia may move into the area and just control access and report any attempted theft and just be there as eyes and ears, and a lot of times that's enough to prevent people from going out there and taking other people's things at a time when they're the weakest. Being armed or being not armed would be every individual's choice, but any type of being armed would obviously have to comply with any local law, and we would never want the members of this group to be walking around openly displaying any type of firearm, unless they were in a capacity where that was just prudent. In other words, if you went to the range and did some range training, you take a gun to the range. If a group of these guys got together in a social situation to go hunting, they would take their guns, but we would not want these to be people that are ever seen, you know, running around the woods doing paramilitary training, or to be in a situation where they're actually in the streets with guns on sling on their back. Not the purpose of this group, not in my viewpoint anyway. Each local branch would actually register or somehow notify and go on record with local law enforcement and possibly other emergency responders. In other words, instead of being like this group that's a counterculture group, you'd actually call your local police chief and say, hey, we've set up a group of the new civilian militia. We want to let you know that we're available at your request to assist in any given situation. Local law enforcement may choose to tell you, we're not interested. But the gesture alone would speak miles for the purpose of the group. Hey, look, we want to work with you guys in any situation where you're overburdened in an emergency. Should we have a major weather disaster or something like that, tell us where we can help you. Tell us where you're weakest. Tell us where we can help provide medical assistance. Tell us where we can maybe report unscrupulous activity so that you can only send your people where they most need to be at a time when you're pushed to your limit. We are here to help you. We are here to coexist with you. We are here to be your eyes and ears and to report to you, not to in any way conflict with your goal and agenda. Our goal and your goal is the same, the safety and security of the people of our community. Any uniform, if we're going to have any kind of uniform for this organization, would have to look decidedly non-militant. I think you'd want a way that people that are part of this group during a response could be identified. That may be something as simple as maybe some sort of an armband or something like that. Something akin to like the MP band that the military police wear, but accompanying civilian clothing. You would want this organization to be something that would be very difficult for any media source to, you know, paint as being a vigilante group or an anti-government group. And one of the ways to do that would be avoid the camo, avoid the black fatigues, avoid anything like that. Blue jeans and a t-shirt would be sufficient, but maybe some type of band or identification that would tell people, hey, we're part of the good guys, we're here to help you. Because I do think it would be a good idea that any kind of emergency situation where people are panicked, that they would be able to identify members of this group as being someone that was there to help, someone that they could go to, someone that they could look to. There'd have to be some type of a rule that, you know, these folks only operate in at least teams of two or something to keep anybody from using this as a way to deceive people. There might be certain ways that we could go about figuring out how to do that. I'm not really sure about that yet, but we would want to make sure that it wasn't easy to easily impersonate yourself as being a member of this group if you, in fact, were not. We would want to make sure that the training was focused, number one, on communicating and reporting. In other words, knowing exactly who to call for any given instance and exactly what information they would need, how to do a good job of taking records or information down and relaying it to the proper emergency authority in a given situation, and knowing what to do during the time it takes them to respond, what's appropriate for you to do as a civilian, and what's not appropriate for you to do as a civilian. Because I just think it's very important that we, if we're going to set up an organization like this, we understand right from the get-go, it's not an organization that gives you special privileges, special authority, special treatment. It's designed to serve the community, and it's designed to coexist with authority. And I know that there's a lot of people in the survivalist mindset that are decidedly anti-authoritarian. And I am too. I'm all for liberty. I'm all for freedom. But I also know that the members of the local police department that serve my community, sure, there's some of them that are kind of, you know, not the guys I would really want to spend a lot of time with. But most of them are good people. They're good. They live in the same houses that I have, a house that I live in. They have the same concerns. They're part of our community. And they do the best damn job they can under any given circumstances. So, working with those guys is not a long stretch to do, and I think with the right positioning that they would be willing to work with local people, and they would be grateful for the assistance. What you're really talking about here is an organization that's kind of a cross between a gentler form of maybe what we had of the Guardian Angels in the 80s when New York was a bad place, and a very well-organized neighborhood watch that's a little bit bigger than its own area that's designed to be in assistance. I think that would be help. The next thing I think that training should focus on, I know the regular militias do this a lot. They don't get credit for it, but it's something you'd want to market very heavily as part of this group, is first aid. Being able to, in a situation, I don't care if you're just driving down the street and there's a wreck and people are waiting for the ambulance to show up, knowing how to apply proper first aid, just being more organized about it and having rosters in areas where people could say, okay, we need additional help here. I know who to call, and if somebody close by can come and give additional aid until emergency responders arrive. Another bit of training would be supply distribution. You know, a lot of times with a hurricane or natural disaster, unless you get to a point where water needs to be handed out and things like that, just being able to go in and help the organizations that are willing to provide these supplies, distribute them, knowing where to distribute them, how to distribute them, knowing the area well enough to know how to get to certain places if roads are blocked or things like that. Heavy amount of training on working with emergency responders. As much cooperation as local law enforcement, local paramedics, fire department, etc. would give with that training, if they give none, they give none. But as much cooperation as they'd be willing to give, we should cooperate with them and work with them on training and coordinating with them on how we would help them. And then as far as any kind of actual use of weaponry, we should focus the training on that, on the use of non-lethal force. So things like maybe mace, stun guns, things like that, in the very extreme situations where somebody needs to be defended or you need to defend yourself because you've gone in to help in a situation and you end up attacked. There should be training on that, but it should be stressed as being non-lethal force as often as possible. Again, to me, a militia member who carries a concealed weapon because they have a concealed weapon permit would carry that concealed weapon whether they were a militia member or not. That's their individual right as an American citizen as long as they comply with the law, but it should not necessarily be part of the militia training. It may be a good idea to have some type of heightened response team training, but that should be kind of the back end of the things, not the front leading edge of it. I think it would be a good example for our government. This organization could actually be an example for our government by running itself as a constitutional republic as such, the same type of structure that our government's supposed to run under, complete individual regional authority respected under a national charter, and that the regions would come together again maybe once a year and vote on changes and amendments to the charter. Maybe even having a judiciary committee to kind of watch over that national organization and say, you are or not, you are not exceeding the limits of your authority under our current charter. Membership should have some type of dues associated with it. They should be annual dues and they should be low. But there should be some cost that would provide necessary funding to make sure that these organizations have a good meeting location where they can meet regularly at a regional level, and to make sure that there's some good marketing behind this thing to push for additional members and to get a good message out in front of the public. And I'll talk more about that in a second. I think one of the things we do need to do, though, with this type of an organization would be, one, focus on recruiting prior service members of law enforcement, your retired police officers. Excellent people to have as members of this organization would give it a lot of credibility and a lot of guidance, wisdom, and leadership. Prior service military, obviously, is a good focus for recruiting. And professionals in various disciplines of the medical world, doctors, paramedics, emergency medical technicians, people that have done some sort of medical job in their past but maybe have moved on to a different world, high targets for leadership and skill sets. And I know, again, I'm not saying that the existing militias don't do these things. I'm talking about doing them in a way that's a lot more visible and a lot more friendly to the public, at least from the way that the entire organization is positioned, doing it a very coordinated way. In a way that is this highly friendly, again, to local law enforcement and emergency responders. And from there, I'm going to kind of go on to how I think we would market this and get that message across where this could really get some traction. So on marketing this organization, on the public relations side of things, what would be a good plan? Number one would be, just like I said, to recruit past law enforcement, prior service military, provide the leadership and skill sets to make the organization effective. Take that approach with the marketing side of things, too. Recruit into the organization professionals from the marketing world, from the sales world, and from the public speaking world, so you can put a good positive face on the organization. And there's people that know how to market businesses. I happen to be one of them, but there's a lot of other people that know how to do it as well. There's people that know how to speak well, and there's people that know how to sell well. And if initially this organization went out and recruited a core of leadership, an administrative leadership side of the organization, so to speak, that could do those things. It could go a long way toward getting membership levels up, because what's going to make this successful more than anything else is having a high level of participation in it, and those people being the voice of the company would go a long way toward getting that done. Again, positioning the organization it is very, very important. The militias do not position themselves as a helper to local law enforcement. Many of them feel that they are, but they don't really go out of their way to position themselves that way. A position as a helper to local law enforcement, emergency responders, and to local charities. The next thing I think you would want to do is you'd want to try to set a goal for the organization to make being a member of the new civilian militia, or whatever this organization would be called, as being kind of on par with being a volunteer with the Salvation Army or the Red Cross or a member of a Rotary Club or something like that. I mean, people will put on their resume that they're a volunteer with the Salvation Army or a volunteer with the American Red Cross. That should be your goal. It may not be something that's easy to do initially, but the goal of the organization from the beginning should be to be that kind of organization. Something people say that they're a member of what you do with pride, without stigma, without prejudice. It can be done. It's just a matter of committing the resources and the effort and having the vision that that's what you want to be from the very beginning. Again, big part of the marketing here. Every time there's, like, let's say a regional meeting, maybe you do monthly regional meetings or weekly regional meetings, whatever the people that, you know, are part of the organization decide that they want to do, every time there's a meeting, there should be formal invitations sent to local law enforcement. Not, we need you to come down here and keep an eye on things, or we need you to make sure that we're secure or anything like that. Just simply, we'd like you to come and be part of this. We think this is really cool what we're doing. We want to make sure you know about it. you do that, most of the time it probably won't show up, but it sends a huge message. We have nothing to hide. We're not doing anything under the table. We want you there. And a lot of the militias, I've read their websites, and they say, we have no problem when members of local law enforcement show up. Excuse me, folks, show up. But they don't. You can also tell they really prefer that they didn't. This organization should be designed to work so closely with emergency responders that they're always welcome and they're always invited. Absolutely, on the website and any promotional materials, no videos or pictures. People in camo-clad, paramilitary equipment, running around in the woods with AR-15s. Not the image you want, so that will never be seen at a top-level messaging. If an individual region has a blog of a camping trip that they did where they're dressed that way, or a trip to a range, or a hunting trip, or a sporting event, hey, that's fine. But the top-level image of the organization needs to always be a very clean-cut, very non-militant, very civilian organization, because that's what it is. It's a civilian organization. Again, it's people doing what people have the right and, I believe, responsibility to do anyway, just doing it with some organization. That's really what this would be all about. Any firearm use or carrying, I think, really should be done as a civilian. In other words, like I've said before, and that should be part of the statement and understanding to anybody concerned that while some of our members may be armed, they would be armed whether they were our members or not. They're not armed because they're a member of the civilian militia. Strict code of ethics would need to be in place, and something that membership would have to vote on and agree to. Any violation from that code of ethics would immediately result in a member being immediately terminated from the organization, period, end of story. That type of self-policing would go a long way toward avoiding any kind of problems or confrontations in the future. I think we should also be a very open organization. No real requirements to be a member other than maybe a criminal background check. You might have to make the member pay for their own background check, but it'd be a good to have some level of a screening process. Maybe we could teach the federal government that it's not that hard to do a background check and make sure you're not hiring illegal aliens like most of our cities seem to do as employees today, that it's really not that difficult to do and it doesn't cost that much money. Another thing, and kind of the conclusion of this marketing plan, is there would be absolutely no military rank it's for any member to carry. Nobody's sergeant or colonel or lieutenant or anything like that. I mean, you'd want to have people be things like members, organizing members, neighborhood coordinators, regional coordinators, national coordinators, state-level coordinators, whatever they are. But you would not want to send any kind of a militant message with this thing. That's why I almost wonder if militia is the right word for it, except I think that this is an exact description of what a good militia would be today. We do have a National Guard and Reservist troops out there today, so we don't have this need for an armed militia the way that it was originally stated by our founders. But we do have a need. If people say, well, why? Jack, why do you even want to do this? I talked to one guy, why do you want to do this? And it's not really I want to do this. It's if this movement got started, I would certainly want to be a part of it. But again, I'm not spearheading this. I'm just trying to get the discussion going and started about this. The reason I want to do it is this simple. You can say that there's already groups that do this. But I know that right now, in my neighborhood, if a major disaster hits that area, that about the only person in that neighborhood that's going to be willing to go out and help people and knows what to do is me. My neighborhood's well underprepared for these things. And I know that Arlington's got a good police department, and they'll do what they can. They've got a good fire department, and they'll do what they can. But I know if it's a major disaster that's widespread, that they can get to their limits pretty quickly. And I know that there is no Texas militia that's in my area that's going to show up and help. I know there's no other organization that's going to go in and help. That we're going to be in a situation where it's going to be kind of every man for themselves. And of course, I would do what I can to help other people, but I'm one person. There's no organization in place to do it beyond local law enforcement, which again, does a great job in most instances, but can easily reach their limits. So the system that we have, these regional militias and stuff, they're not sufficiently large enough, and they don't have enough reach to be able to help people in all parts of the country. Where they are, they probably do a very good job. So to me, what we need is this marketing-friendly spin on things and enough organization coordination that this thing could be pulled off in a way where it could actually help people. And again, what I just laid out for you is not like Jack's dictate for the way this thing should work. I'm sure it could actually be made better with other people involved in it. But what I would encourage you to do is maybe start discussing this. If you're involved in forums and chat rooms and blogs, just start discussing the idea, kicking the idea around. When I post this this podcast on the blog, I'll put my outline, my 11 points for the militia itself and my 9 points for the marketing plan. You know, cut and paste the stuff. Talk about it. Discuss it. Kick it around. Let's just see if there's any interest in it. Let's see if there's anybody that wants to step up and start trying to coordinate and organize something like this. And if they do, great. If they don't, fine. I still think the discussion is valuable because it will start to make you realize when you look at the fact that, no, there isn't a group that does this now. And there are people that want to help, and they want to be involved with something, and they want to do something meaningful, but maybe they don't have an outlet for that right now. And there's a lot of wisdom out there in retired military personnel, retired law enforcement personnel, retired marketing people. This would be a good way to harness that, channel that, and do good things for the community. Beyond just the emergency response, though, I mean, I want you to think about it this way. It could be a large organization that does things several times a year for local charities, and unlike most of the large charity organizations, all the decisions about how any charity fundraising is spent would be made at the regional level, so that it could be the closest to the people in need. And I believe that that's the best way to make sure that money gets to the right place. It's why I'm against the taxation system that we have, where our government takes my tax dollars and spends them in Indiana when I'm in Texas, and takes some guy's tax money from Indiana and spends it in Texas. You know, I should be able to decide who I want to help and how I want to help, and an organization like this would have that local autonomy. But it would be able to be run, again, with this constitutional thread to it, which could be a good example that, hey, you know what, that system does work. It's not archaic. It works in a completely new organization today, just the way that the wise people that set it up in the first place knew that it would. So, again, I mean, this is kind of a different podcast, I guess. It's something I've done a little bit different than before. But I think you could start up some pretty good discussions. I look forward to your comments and your suggestions about it. And just to kind of get a dialogue going, and we'll see where it goes from there. And if it doesn't go anywhere, again, I think the discussion is valuable. I'd like to remind you also, again, of our listener appreciation contest, where you can win a free iPod Nano. Just go by our blog at thesurvivalpodcast.com. Click on Listener Appreciation Contest and enter that contest there. Again, this is Jack Spirico with the Survival Podcast. And remember, we're always here to try to help you learn how to live a better life if times get tough or even if they don't.
Makes you wonder where your money went. You can scream and you can holler. It really doesn't matter because it all gets spent.